ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, chapter entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. Text 22 and 23. So text 22 has no purport, so we'll recite text 23 first and then we'll read text 22.
तस्यां कृताति प्रणयः तस्यां कृताति प्रणयः प्रणयापाय कातरः प्रणयापाय कातरः बहुमानेन चाबद्ध बहुमानेन चाबद्ध नोचो किंचन विप्रियम् नोचो किंचन विप्रियम् तस्याम् कृताति प्रणयः प्रणयापाय कातरः बहुमानेन चाबद्ध नोचो किंचन विप्रियम् तस्याम् कृताति प्रणयः प्रणयापाय कातरः बहुमानेन चाबद्धा नोचुः किञ्चन विप्रियम्।
माता जी, वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, तस्याम ऑफ मोहिनी मूर्ति कृतति प्रणयः बिकॉज ऑफ स्टॉन्च फ्रेंडशिप प्रणयापय कातरः बीइंग अफ्रेड दैट देयर फ्रेंडशिप with her would be broken. Bahumanena, by great respect and honor. Cha, also. Abaddha, being too attached to her. Na, not. Uchuhu, they said. Kinchana, even the slightest thing. Vipriyam, by which Mohini Murti might be displeased with them. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Purport. The demons were so captivated by the tricks and friendly words of Mohini Murti that although the demigods were served first, the demons were pacified merely by the sweet words. The Lord said to the demons, "The demigods are very miserly and are excessively anxious to take the nectar first. So let them have it first. Since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes and are so pleased with me. It is better for you to wait until after the demigods drink." We'll just recite text 22 also.
Te palayanta samayam asura swakritam nripa tushnima sankrita sneha stri vivada jugupsaya.
Translation. O king, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether just or unjust, now to keep this promise, to show their equilibrium and to save themselves from fighting with the woman, they remained silent.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Thapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parichana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Pada, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakha Vitamsya, Namah Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swaminite Namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashyate Deshatarine, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurakrishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptakanchina Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Pancha Kalpataruvyasya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Kaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Please repeat the translation. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. So, in these two verses, six reasons are mentioned why the demons did not interrupt Mohini Murti. We are seeing the context how finally, after putting lot of effort, both the parties, demigods and demons, they churned the ocean of milk and they got nectar. And when they had a fight amongst themselves, who will take the nectar, the demons, because they were powerful, they snatched the pot of nectar and ran away. So the argument was going on, and Lord himself comes, takes the form of a beautiful woman, the most beautiful woman, and she enchants the demons and talks to them you know, in sweet words like we heard on Sunday, that what they got, demons, after so much effort, is some sweet words of the Lord. And they were captivated completely by her beauty. So, after promising to the demons, Mohini Murthy said that first let me give this nectar to demigods. Why? Here in the purport it is mentioned, the demigods are very miserly. So she is, the Lord here is trying to give a kind of superiority feeling to the demons. Anyone, when given that kind of feeling that you are a hero, here it is mentioned. The demigods are miserly, very miserly. The opposite party is very miserly and they are excessively anxious to take the nectar first. So let them have it first. One acharya explains that the meaning, you know, she said that if there is a nectar pot, generally, if you see, you take any liquid, like, you know, dal or buttermilk, the condensed form of that liquid goes down and settles, the thick part. And the watery part is on the, you know, top layer. So Mohini Murthy said, let me give demigods all this diluted part, the watery part. Yeah? And then what I will give you is real nectar, the condensed nectar. So they were happy. Since you are not like them, that means you are not miserly. Sometimes mothers know this, that when there are two brothers and they fight, so mother knows which brother will act, you know, intelligently and patiently at what time. So she will go and say, you know, you are mature. He may not be. But say, you are mature, you keep quiet, let him have the toy, you know, he is your brother only. Say, here, the mother of the creation, the mother and father of creation, Supreme Lord, is playing the same trick, saying that let them have first, since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes. What else, you know, demons want? They are captivated by beauty of a woman, and that same woman is saying, you are a hero. So they don't want anything else. And so pleased with me, it is better for you to wait until after the demigods drink. So this is what, and there are six reasons mentioned in these two verses, three in the verse of 22nd and three reasons in this verse, that why they didn't interrupt. First, they promised. Lord took the promise from the demons that whatever I do, you will not interrupt in between. You both, demigods and demons, are sons of Kashyapa Muni. Why are you fighting? They said, okay, you distribute the nectar. So then the Lord said, I'll distribute, but please do not disturb me in the between. Let me do my job. So they said, okay. So they had to keep the promise. Generally, the demoniac people, as demons, are not inclined to keep their promises. And whatever reasons, they're not. But they were captivated by the beautiful form of the Lord, and they didn't want the friendship to break. They were enjoying, they thought, demons thought that we are enjoying nectar with our eyes, seeing the beautiful form, and with our ears, hearing her beautiful voice. Then what is this nectar? This is nothing. That's what they thought, and they gave the pot of nectar. So they had the promise which they had to keep. Second reason mentioned is to show the equilibrium. Even though they might be very anxious that, you know, what if the demigod snatches, you know, the pot of nectar from this lady. They might be anxious, but just to maintain equilibrium in front of a woman, you know, some courtesy is there, and they want to show that we are heroes, so they were quiet. Generally, we don't find, you know, people who are like demons, they don't have equilibrium, mental equilibrium or emotional equilibrium because of their desires to enjoy. So this is the reason. Third reason, it says, they didn't want to fight with a woman. Stri vivada jugupsaya. Even demons had this culture that to fight with a woman, stri vivada is jugupsaya, is abominable. Even demons had that culture. So they didn't want to fight. Okay, let her do whatever she does, and then we'll see later. When she was distributing, as only the Radha Govind Swami Maharaj explains, when she was distributing nectar to the demigods, again and again, she was looking towards the demons, giving them assurance, wait, I will come. So there anyways, you know, with the glances Lord was giving, so they were like, okay, okay. She was giving assurance that I will come and give nectar to you also. The fourth reason mentioned in today's verse is that they had developed affection and faith. They had developed affection and faith for the Mohini Murti. Fifth reason mentioned is afraid. They were afraid of disturbing their friendship with her. Because they consider friendship with Mohini Murti more important than the nectar. And the last, they didn't want to dishonor her words. The first was their promise, and she also said that, okay, I'll distribute to demigods, keep quiet and I'll come to you later. So they didn't want to dishonor her words. These are the six reasons mentioned in these two verses why demigods behaved the way, in a friendly way, and didn't take any action in between. Demons are very short-sighted. We see in this world also, demoniac people, they're very short-sighted. They cannot think in a long run. And that is why in Bhagavatam it is said, they are gokhara, really, cows and asses. They cannot see what is beyond. A Brahmana is supposed to be having the, you know, vision, which will give him liberation. But demoniac people are not like that. They are Kripana. The Kripana and Brahmana. What they got is a pot of nectar. They were powerful. The entire universe, they were powerful. They had already defeated demigods. And demigods came to them on the order of Lord Vishnu. They came to make friendship and let us churn the ocean of milk to get nectar. So here demons anyway had upper hand. So they didn't have to worry. But then, and what they were getting is the nectar, which will make them more powerful, almost like, you know, unconquerable, and they could enjoy any facility in the universe to a certain extent, because they would be more powerful and demons would be defeated. But they didn't think about it. When the object of sense gratification came in front of their eyes, they were bewildered and forgot what we can achieve if we get this nectar. They just wanted to enjoy that object of sense gratification immediately. Like in society we see there are worker class, you know, who will go wages, will go earn every day their wages and finish everything by evening. Jai Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagwan ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. They will earn their wages and finish it off by the evening, give some to their family, and rest of them they will go and, you know, spend in intoxication. I met one person, he's a plumber. So I asked him, how much you earn? He said, 1500 rupees in a month. I said, 1500 is nothing. How do you survive? He said, that is enough. I give to my wife and she says, okay, I don't need anything else. So she takes care. It's a poor family. I said, in how many? But 1500 earning is like you can earn in a week. Plumbing, today is a lot of demand for plumbers. He said, I earn 1500 in 3 days. If 500, 500, 500. And what do you do for next 27 days? He said, I sit with my friends and smoke bidi and talk politics. So this is short-sightedness. The other person who will work for 30 days and wait, have patience, after 30 days he will get salary. And he will get a big amount and he can plan. So demoniac people are very short-sighted. They want to enjoy immediately. They cannot have this quality of patience. So this was exactly happened here. Now they fought with demigods, defeated them, again make friendship, planned that once the nectar comes, we will only drink and will not give to demigods. So demons had their plan, but Krishna has his own plan. Like Prabhupada, once one disciple came to Prabhupada and he was explaining about some plan. So Prabhupada said, you have your plan and I have my plan, but Krishna has his own plan. So now, tell me which will be the successful plan. So here, even though they thought that we will cheat demigods and take all the nectar, they were cheated. Another very interesting in this context, in last few verses, comes is the powerful demigods and demons in the assembly. And one woman comes. And she, you know, the Lord is telling that, why are you trusting a woman who is wandering here and there alone like a prostitute? But immediately, both the parties accepted Mohini Murthy as the leader and gave the pot of nectar and told her that you distribute. So this is also the illusory potency of Lord Krishna. They fought, they were fighting, they had all the facilities, but one woman comes and they both parties surrendered and she becomes the leader. She is the Supreme Lord Krishna, and Krishna is natural leader. So in this context we are seeing that how Mohini Murthy cheated the demons. Is it true? If we analyze little deeply, is it true that Mohini Murthy cheated the demons, or they were cheated by their own lusty desires? We know that in past many devotees, exalted devotees have been tested. Haridas Thakur was tested by the prostitute Lakshahira. And then another time Maya Devi personally comes and tests Haridas. But Haridas Thakur, because there was not even a speck of lust in his heart, he was not affected. On the contrast, we see Ajamil. He was going to forest to pluck some flowers for the worship of the Lord. And once he saw this scene of a man and woman embracing each other, and he got bewildered. So it is not that the woman can actually, or object of sense gratification, whether man for woman or woman for man or any other object of sense gratification, can bewilder the soul who is pure. And who else can cheat us if we have our own anarthas in the heart? So here it is spoken in Bhagavad Gita, the series of 8 verses which talks about this concept. Arjuna is asking in the 3rd chapter, Atakkena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha anicham api varshneya baladiva niyojitaha. Anicham, without desire, without desiring, how it is that a living entity baladiva, forcefully, what he does, papam charati, he commits sinful activity. Now, 3 words are there, that a living entity commits sinful activity without having desire, but he is forced to commit that activity. Same question. So here, the demigods knew, even though they were captivated, but they were silent. They were not so much bewildered because of their godly qualities. Demons were captivated because of their lusty desires in the heart. So who cheated? They cheated themselves. Who can do anything to a living entity when Krishna has given freedom? Krishna has given whatever freedom, we exercise our freedom and desire or decide to go on the path of dharma or on the path of adharma. We have many examples in Mahabharata, Duryodhan, Karna. They all decided to be on the path of adharma. And said because of their association. So they were forced. Yudhishthira, all the Pandavas, Kunti, Draupadi, they suffered so much. So many years they suffered. Still, they decided to walk on the path of dharma. Because there was no desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So here it is saying they are forced. Anicham. What Krishna says. Kamaesha krodhaesha rajoguna samudbhava. Mahashano mahapapma vidhyenam hi vairinam. It is lust only which excites or incites a living entity to commit sinful activities. Next seven verses, Krishna is talking about this formidable enemy called lust. It is a desire to enjoy anything separately from Krishna. Many times when we talk about enjoyment, we talk about happiness, then people think that Krishna consciousness is not about happiness. So it is not that scriptures or acharyas are telling that you do not enjoy or you will not get enjoyment, you will not get happiness. We will get the highest form of bliss. But it should not be separated from Krishna. It has to be, you serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says in one lecture, when you offer bhoga to Krishna, you can feel that reciprocation. When you dress the deities, you feel satisfaction in your heart. It's like we want to cook something. So you bring the vegetables and other ingredients from the market and cut all the vegetables, put on the fire and directly pour everything in the fire. What will happen? Everything will burn. We need a patra, the medium. So when we serve Krishna, then we will get happiness, we will get enjoyment. It's not that we will not get any enjoyment, we will not get any happiness. But separately, when we plan to enjoy, that is where it becomes lust. And one of the verses, I'll read the translation. Krishna is saying, therefore, Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. This desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is the destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Jnana vijnana nashanam. In this case, the demons, their knowledge, their no self-realization, their knowledge got destroyed. So Prabhupada very beautifully explains, what is jnana and what is vijnana? Jnana, knowledge, means to understand the difference between the matter and the spirit. And vijnana is to understand the real self, the soul, as a servant of Krishna. That is vijnana. In the purport, Prabhupada writes about this lust. We can never remove, lust from the heart. It can only be transformed. Because lust is nothing but a perverted transformation of love for Krishna. Like if there is darkness in the room, we cannot remove darkness from that room until and unless we bring the light. And the process of yoga, other systems of yoga will not work. That is why Narottam Das Thakur says, all these are Vishaya Bhanda. Whether Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Dhyan Yoga, Hatha Yoga, this will not work and not remove this or will transform the lust into love. What happens to so-called yogis? They enter politics. What they consider Maya, they even consider the form of Lord as Maya. They consider everything as Maya. And after few years, they are back into politics or into, business, selling some grocery. But what was the real goal when they started this yoga? They will not be successful because that desire to enjoy remains. Even if we go to the level of Brahman, we fall down. So here Prabhupada writes, lust is the only perverted reflection of love of God, which is natural for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. Prabhupada writes a very powerful and straightforward statement. When the love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. What is our hope? From millions and billions of lifetimes, we are engaged into sense gratification. Prabhupada speaks in the next statement. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. By following the practices of sadhana bhakti, even the late beginner. Kaliyuga means everyone is anyways a late beginner. Whether you start at the age of 5 or start at the age of 50. But we are contaminated from so many lifetimes. But here Prabhupada is saying, Krishna consciousness. Only this process of bhakti yoga can help. And many devotees in ISKCON. Why to talk of history? Even in ISKCON, many devotees have crossed over these things and they have felt the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And that's why. And others, all of us, somewhere or the other, are getting some bliss and we are continuing the process. So from any stage of life or from time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of human life. So all these 7 verses, Krishna is talking about who is the real enemy. It's not the object of the enjoyment. Where the enemy is sitting? In the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. All three are contaminated. False ego anyways is gone case. So what is remaining? Anyways, I'll try to explain one diagram. Please try to understand rather than drawing it. If there's a circle, and you divide the circle into 4 parts. 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. All the 4 parts. One part is the senses. Another is the mind. And third is intelligence. Now consider this circle as a country. And in the country, 75% of your land which is three parts in the circle, has been conquered by enemy. Enemy has entered into a country, 75% has been conquered. Senses are gone, mind is contaminated, intelligence is become like a prostitute. So what will we do? What should we do if the country is 75% conquered by enemy? And what kind of enemy? Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durattaya. That is the quality of enemy. Krishna is explaining. You can never overcome this enemy. What should we do? Can we fight with senses? Can we fight with mind? Can we fight with intelligence? Because all three are already conquered. The last part, that is the only hope for all of us, which is soul, which is never contaminated and never conquered by Maya. Soul is covered because of the desire to enjoy. But enemy cannot enter in that area. That zone is not, enemy cannot enter, that is not allowed. So bhakti process directly deals with the soul. You see other things that deal with mind, intelligence and senses, other systems of yoga. Where you are already conquered, already defeated, how can you fight the enemy? And the enemy is unconquerable enemy. Impossible to fight. That is why every scripture, every acharya has said, all other yoga systems are useless. They can help little bit to control mind. Prabhupada says, Hatha Yoga, a little bit to control mind. But that is not the goal of life. Until unless we act on that zone, which is the zone of soul, through the process of bhakti, we cannot overcome this. Soul has direct relation with Krishna, and making that area powerful and working on that area which cannot be conquered by the enemy, we will overcome. And gradually, if soul becomes powerful, or we can say self-realized, then the other zones, mind, intelligence and senses, can be freed from the hands of enemies. A self-realized soul has all his senses enlivened, and mind is completely fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Intelligence is perfectly situated, and we become eternal. We again revive our relationship as the eternal servant of Krishna. So only that part we can work. Here it is said, bhakti only. So in the last of these seven verses, Krishna says, thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, evam buddhe param buddhva. Because in the previous verse he was saying, na, indriyani pararyahaur. How? These are the four things we discuss. Senses. And above the senses is mind. Above the mind is intelligence. Above the mind, saha, you are above the mind. So if what I discuss in the diagram is the four things what Krishna is explaining. What solution Krishna says? Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses. Who has to know this? The soul. Who is transcendental to the material senses? The soul. So Arjun, act on this part of soul. Knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, mind and intelligence. You are transcendental. Not only above, you are transcendental. And the desire to enjoy separately the lust is material. Material can never touch the transcendental part. Not allowed. There is the only hope. O mighty I am Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, which is Krishna consciousness. And thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. By the spiritual strength, not by some material logic or conclusion. Only by spiritual strength. And that strength comes from the process of bhakti. There are two ways to deal with this desire, because this is so deep rooted, extremely deep rooted in our heart. So we need help. And that is what Krishna is saying, Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durattaya Mamevaya Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. So the first thing is Mam Evaya Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. You come and surrender unto me and I will deliver you from this. Actually, even a conditioned soul, if has some pious deeds, sometime there will be, you know, sometime in the life where that conditioned soul will realize that this desire for sense gratification is only giving unhappiness. Most of the people are happy. They are thinking they are happy. They are not happy. They are thinking they are happy, and they are struggling with the newer and newer ways to bring happiness to their life. But if a person is pious, what to talk of a devotee, that person will realize at some point of time that is all frustrating. And the solution is not this. Solution is something else. And those kind of souls, they take up Krishna consciousness. When we are done with, Kunti Maharani says, when we are done with the material thing, then we take up to the process of spirituality. So Prabhupada, when he says you preach, so we have to find out those souls. We preach to everyone. Whoever takes, immediately, very nice. Whoever doesn't take, they don't have that sukriti or bhakti, then they develop that sukriti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it is not a duty of Vaishnava to preach to few people. Rather, it's a duty of Vaishnava, this also is a duty of Vaishnava, to organize big festivals and Rathiyatras. This is the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why? The people who are suffering in this material world, they are so abominable that they cannot come to Krishna. So when the Vaishnavas, they organize these big festivals, they take up, they get the sukriti. And gradually, in this life or next life, they will become devotees. I was reading a letter by Srila Prabhupada for this Bombay temple. So Prabhupada said, what I want from Juhu is big festivals and huge quantity of prasadam distribution and book distribution. Yesterday Nitai Prabhu said, three things. So big festivals Prabhupada wanted and huge quantity of prasadam distribution, especially for this temple. That will help people to generate some sukriti. Otherwise, mameva prapadyante, that will never happen. Because that soul will never realize that he is suffering. Anyone who meet, whenever, everyone in ISKCON is a kind of preacher, whether one-to-one or a big preacher, it's a prayer preacher. When you talk to people that there is no happiness in this material world, what they say? They don't agree. That means they don't have sufficient sukriti to understand this. They don't agree that there is no happiness. They are happy. For a sadhaka, he may sometime because of the desire, material desire, sometimes he will also relish happiness, kind of, that is under illusion. But he will realize that this is not happiness. very strongly bonded now. Hamsa Avatar, when he comes in front of Brahma, he says that the object of senses and the senses are so intertwined and so much deeply connected. The mind and the sense object, they are so deeply connected. Whenever mind sees the sense object, immediately goes there. And whenever sense object comes, sense object also enters the mind. A very deep connection. So how will we free? So one is this, Krishna is saying, you cannot conquer this enemy. Then Mahamaya Prapadyanti, you come and surrender to me, I will deliver you. And the process, till the time we come to that complete surrender, we need to take some practical steps. And that is what the process of sadhana bhakti. Srila Prabhupada said this book, Nectar of Devotion, is a law book of ISKCON. In San Francisco 1973, he said this is law book of ISKCON. Why? All the rules, what we are supposed to do, what we are not supposed to do, is mentioned in NOD. All the rules are mentioned. So in the meanwhile, we come and completely surrender to Krishna, what we have to do is follow the rules and regulations. And we should try as much as possible to avoid the object of senses coming and mixing with the senses. That we have to do. Kamalochan Prabhu says this in two words. He said, no opportunity, no time. You should not have any opportunity when senses and objects are coming together. And you should not have any time for that. This is what practical we can do and save ourselves. Yesterday, Yasgiraj Yadubara Prabhu, in his evening offering, he was saying that internet is a blessing and a curse. A mind is controlled, what internet can do? But mind is uncontrolled. Even without internet, there is a problem. So this is uncontrolled mind means the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So we saw that here demigods, after distributing in the few next verses we will see after distributing nectar to the demigods, when demigods drank the nectar, Mohini Murti showed the original form of Lord Vishnu. And demons, they realized we got cheated. So if they didn't have desire to enjoy this beautiful form, Lord also had an equal role in this, to cheat them. But if they didn't have a desire to enjoy this form, they would never be captivated. They would have never given the nectar pot to them. The real enemy is not anyone else. We have a tendency in the material world to blame everyone and anyone. We blame for everything. Even after knowing that whatever good and bad is happening in our life is due to our own karma, still, because of uncontrolled mind, we blame. Like they are blaming. It's karma. Why someone will become a demon and why someone will become a demigod? It's karma. Yeah? And the desires. So who can, no one can touch the karma. Even Krishna doesn't interfere in our karmic life. Only, Prabhupada says, only a pure devotee can come and interfere and destroy your karma to give you pure devotional service. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Otherwise, Krishna let us go in this material world. It's a machine which goes, moves. Okay. So no one, but we have tendency to blame. So here we saw the six reasons why demigods, they behaved very gentlemanly in front of Mohini Murti. And then we saw what is the, who is the actual cheater? It is the lust only. It is our own desire to enjoy. That is the cheater. How Krishna explains. Arjuna is asking this question and Krishna explains. What is the solution? The solution is to perform bhakti yoga. Arjuna is so much condemned, if you see. Other Prabhupada condemns very heavily other kinds of yoga. Very heavily. In his books, in his lectures. Why? Because the conditioned soul like us, we are so in a deep slumber. To awaken us, he is doing like that. We still have tendency to somehow, you know, work at senses or mind at the level of intelligence. But Prabhupada knows that we cannot do anything. We are defeated there already. And the more we try, we'll be further defeated and frustrated. So the only thing is bhakti yoga. Simple. Chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, reading the literatures, hearing from acharyas, serving the deities, taking darshan, coming to temple, so many activities. And all the three, the mind, intelligence and senses can be engaged in the process of bhakti simultaneously and they'll get purified. Any questions or comments? Yes. Just wait, the mic will come.
We are talking about karma, that it's your karma and because of that you either are happy or sad or whatever you have in this life. But many times you see good people also suffer, or people who have not done anything wrong or no bad deeds, no bad thoughts, still there's a lot of suffering. So then they question, what have I done to deserve this? So how do we kind of define that? Thank you.
So, because we have forgotten what we have done in so many previous life. Forget about previous life. In this life, we say that we have not done anything wrong. Who has given this world, material world? This material creation is given by Krishna. This material universe is given by Krishna. All the facilities of air, water, earth, sunlight, moonlight, everything has been provided by Krishna. All the building material in which we are staying is provided by Krishna. Where we are standing is provided by Krishna. He is providing oxygen directly, to our nose. We eat food, that is provided by Krishna. We digest food, that digestive system is provided by Krishna. Not only that, we cannot even digest our food, that is digested by Krishna. Says in Bhagavad Gita. This body is not given by parents. It's given by Krishna. Everything is perfect in this body. It's given by Krishna. So anything and everything you can think of and not think of is given by Krishna. Are we utilizing everything in service of Krishna? Are we? Then are we not thief? We are thieves. If you are a government employee and you go to office and do nothing and just enjoy the facilities, they'll kick you out. Government will not tolerate. So every moment we are committing sinful activity by not engaging everything provided to us in service of Krishna. We go to a restaurant, we bring the ingredients, we cook the food. We cook the food and we eat it without offering to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita says that is papa. That is sinful. So how can anyone in this material creation say that I am sinless? I've done nothing. And this is only this life. How much we have done in previous lives? How much we have blamed others? How many times we would have hurt other people without any reason? All the time we are just doing sinful activities, accumulating so much wrong deeds. So why a person like that will not have suffering? At least we are doing some good deeds, some pious activities some does. That's what I said. If somewhat we have done some pious activities, the thought will come to look for alternative. And then people will, those kind of people will take to process of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise not. So we are in this, we are walking, we are killing so many germs. We are cooking, when you put on the fire, so many germs are getting killed. When we are talking, we are killing so many germs. So many sins we are committing. And there's a punishment. Punishment at the level of body, at the diseases. Punishment at the level of mind, which is anxiety and stress. So much stress people have all over the world. It's because of this. The only reason we are not connected to Krishna and we are not connecting all our resources which are actually given by Krishna, we are in anxiety. The moment you come and start building or reviving that relationship with Krishna, to that extent, you will be stress-free, you will be blissful. What to talk of previous karma, even this life, continuously we are doing wrong acts. That's all, sir. I hope this clarifies. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
ये अनुवाद में देखते हैं कि असुरों को मोहनी मूर्ति से प्रेम तथा एक प्रकार से विश्वास हो गया था और उन्हें भय था कि उनके संबंध में कहीं डगमगा न जाए, तो ऐसा शक क्यों हुआ था उनको भगवान के ऊपर? विश्वास हो गया फिर भी?
बहुत एक उदाहरण लेते हैं, ठीक है? एक लड़का है बाहर, वो भोगी है, भोगना चाहता है. उसके पास एक सुंदर लड़की आती है, थोड़ा सा बात करती है तो खुश हो जाता है. अभी वो कुछ भी ऐसा नहीं करना चाहता जिससे वो लड़की उससे दूर हो जाए, फिर एंजॉय कैसे करेगा? ये तो भोगना चाहते थे ना, इनको थोड़ी पता है कि भगवान है. ये तो देखे एक सुंदर स्त्री है, हम इनका भोग करेंगे. तो वो लड़का जो है वो कुछ भी ऐसा नहीं करना चाहता है, इसलिए वो लोग दे पुट अ मास्क. लड़का भी लड़की से छुपाता है, लड़की भी लड़के से छुपाती है, सब चीज छुपा के सिर्फ रिलेशन बनाने का, एक दूसरे को भोग करने के. तो रिलेशन टूट जाएगा, संबंध टूट जाएगा, फिर भोग कैसे करेगा? तो इसीलिए मान लो वो मोहिनी मूर्ति अगर बांट रही है अमृत देवताओं को और बीच में जाके रोक दिया और मोहिनी मूर्ति नाराज हो गई, नहीं मैं तुम लोग से बात नहीं करूंगी, चली जाएगी, तो प्लान खत्म हो जाएगा इनका.
जैसे भगवत गीता लाखों वर्ष पहले कहा गया था, तो विशेषकर कलयुग में भक्तियों का विशेष जोर दिया गया, तो सतयुग और अलग अलग युगों में अलग अलग विशेष प्रकार किया गया ध्यान योग सब. तो और आचार्य लोग आप बताए कि आचार्य लोग विशेषकर भक्ति योगा पर जोर दिए हैं, तो ऐसा क्यों? उधर तो ध्यान योगा विशेष है सतयुग में, ऐसा क्यों कहा गया?
वो जो ध्यान योग है वो अलग है, और इसीलिए बड़े बड़े आचार्य भगवान से हमें बताते हैं कि देवता और ऋषि मुनि भी प्रार्थना करते हैं कि भगवान हमें कलयुग में जन्म दो, ये कलयुग में जिसमें चैतन्य महाप्रभु आए, क्योंकि कलयुग में भक्ति जो है डिस्काउंट पे मिल रहा है. आपने सुना होगा बाय थ्री गेट वन फ्री, तीन खरीदो एक फ्री मिलेगा, तीन खरीदो दो फ्री मिलेगा, तीन खरीदो तीन फ्री मिलेगा. भक्ति योग क्या है? कुछ मत खरीदो, सिर्फ देखने चले जाओ, फ्री में सामान दे देंगे, ये भक्ति है. ऐसा होता है कहीं? तो इसलिए इसको इतना बढ़ा बढ़ा के हम लोग बेच रहे हैं. ये दुकान है, नाम हट है ना, नाम का बाजार है. सिर्फ आ जाए पैसा मत दो, श्रद्धा, श्रद्धा मूल्य है इसका। फिर आ जाए वो दुकान में देखने के लिए और बोल दे ये अच्छा है। रूप गोस्वामी जी बोलते हैं कि भक्ति का अकाउंट कब खुलता है, जब भक्ति के किसी भी चीज को, अंग को, भगवान को, भक्तों को, प्रसाद को आप एक बार अगर आपने बोल दिया ये बहुत अच्छा है, आपका भक्ति चालू हो जाएगा, वहीं भगवान आपके जीवन में इंटरफेयर कर जाएंगे।
तो त्रेता युग में भी भक्ति लोग करते होंगे?
कम था, उतना नहीं था, भक्ति था लेकिन कम था। जो चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने दिया वो नहीं मिला ना पहले, ब्रह्मा जी के एक दिन में चैतन्य महाप्रभु जो आके दे रहे हैं कृष्ण प्रेम, वो नहीं मिला। कृष्ण आए, पांचों रसों का आस्वादन किया कृष्ण ने, लेकिन बांटा नहीं ना पब्लिक को, गीता दे के चले गए। चैतन्य महाप्रभु माधुर्य प्रेम भक्ति वो रस हमको आस्वादन कराने के लिए बांट रहे हैं, ये नहीं हुआ पहले कभी, इसीलिए इतना प्रचार भक्ति योग पे दिया जा रहा है। Yes.
Would you like to explain that whatever is happening to us is because of our karma? At the level of body we are getting diseases, at the level of mind anxiety and tension. So in devotional service also, if some devotee is facing any anxiety because of some other devotee, is that also his karma?
Yes.
So that means the other devotee who has caused him anxiety has become a medium to get him his karmic reaction.
Yes.
What will happen to that devotee who has become the medium?
See, it's a complex. It's not so like that. Someone may think that, you know, someone is purifying me, it is my karma. What about that devotee? That devotee or that sadhaka has his own desires, his set of karma, his set of desires, and his set of wrongdoings or right doings. It's not a linear equation. So rather than thinking उसका क्या होगा, उसका क्या होगा, मेरा क्या होगा, उस पर focus. Prabhupada said you just focus on what will happen to you. So we should not try to disturb others and we should practice our own bhakti. That is more important. Rather than getting into all complex understanding, it's not recommended. Because you, no one can understand. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, karmana gahana gati. This karma is gahana. Very confidential. No one can understand. Because it's coming from billions and trillions of lifetimes and all different people have different karmas. No one can understand this equation. So why to get into that zone? You practice bhakti. It's like when Alexander the Great, you know, say Alexander the Great, when he was coming towards India, maybe before Middle East. So there was a rope, thick rope. It was knotted. Multiple knots were on the rope, and it was predicted. So one sage or whoever may be in the local area, he told to Alexander, whoever will untie this knot, he will only conquer the rest of the part till India. So then many people try to untie, they couldn't. It's very complex. What Alexander did, he took out his sword and cut the knot. And that's what Prabhupada said, take the sword and cut the knot rather than untying. It's a very complex situation. Hare Krishna. श्रील प्रभुपाद की रंत्रा श्रीमद्भागवतम की।